Welcome to the penultimate episode of SidePod Panel Season 2. This is a bumper show today with two hosts, Jackie and Lou, and four panellists on each team. Jackie will tell us more. Take it away.
I'd just like to say a big hi to everyone, to the 11th panel of the year. And we've got two teams tonight. We've got Team Man Flu, and on that team we have Amy.
Hello.
Alex Andronov.
Hello.
We've got Scott Woodwiss.
Hello.
And we have Lukey.
Hello.
And in Team Sniffles, we've got Gavin Brown.
Good evening.
Mr. C.
Hello.
Stephen Roy.
Hello.
And Sean.
Hello.
So, oh yeah, and of course we also have to introduce the other host, Lou.
Hello.
We'll ask a range of questions. Lou and I will alternate between us a range of questions. And the scores will be tallied by Christine and her decision will be final. But there are a few sound effects you should be aware of before we start. So firstly, if you say something funny, you'll hear this sound. And if you say something that Christine doesn't like, and especially if you diss Frank, or now Rob, you'll hear this sound. And if you take too long to give your opinion, you will hear this sound. And finally, if you make a blooper, you might hear this sound. And I'd like you just to remember that those in the comments can also score points, so keep the comments rolling in. That's about it for the introductions out of the way, so without further hesitation, we'll hand over to Lou and she'll ask the first question.
Okay, I hope you're ready. First question, Eddie Jordan seems to think that Kurs is a bit of a waste of money and time. What do you think about this? Do you agree? And first question goes to Amy.
I think that this year, Kurs is a good thing. Obviously, the cars that have got Kurs are slow. It's giving them something back to fight with. The problem, I think, will be next year if they do go down the route of a standardised Kurs. It'll be like what they said on the panel after Bahrain, is that everyone would use it at exactly the same time. Thus, it would give no benefit to anybody, and they might as well not have it.
Brilliant. Okay, and the same question to you, Mr. C.
I think that Kurs, as it currently is wonderful. It's probably missing a little bit of headroom in the fact that they can't recover as much as they'd like to, and they can't use as much as they're capable of recovering. So the rules do need tweaking. Like Amy, I think standardised Kurs is a terrible, terrible idea, and it defeats the point of Formula One using it in the first place. I think what they should do is what they're doing for the budget cap teams in the future, which is basically to allow unrestricted Kurs in the future, and teams should be allowed to recover as much as they can and then reuse it as often as they can, because that is how you're going to promote Formula One as being useful to the rest of the world.
And the same question to Lukey.
I'm extremely mixed on Kurs, because on the one hand, you've got people like Nelson Piquet using it and working, and on the other hand, you've got people like Nelson Piquet working and using it. So, and I'm just something about Kurs bothers me. Maybe it's because of the fact you used it on Barrichello, and that's just put a sour taste in my mouth. But I don't know. That's just rude. But I'm plus Eddie Jordan says a lot of crazy things, so I'm just going to see how the season plays out with Kurs.
And Sean, what do you think?
I think Kurs is very good at the moment. It's quite exciting. Whenever you talk to anyone that doesn't know a lot about Formula One about Kurs, they'll always say, well, that's like something you have on a computer game. The only problem I've got with Kurs, I'm a big fan of Robert Kubica, and I think that they should up the weight limits of the cars so that it can be fitted into all the cars, and very talented drivers like Kubica then can get on with doing what they do well, which is driving Formula One. But I'm sure that I don't quite know why they can't up the weight of the car so easy. Maybe there's other things that the teams can do with lighter drivers that would give them an advantage. I don't know. Okay.
Scott, do you have anything?
Yeah, I think Kurs is pretty good. It's good for things like using off the line, out of corners. It does give something to the racing, because obviously it makes it more exciting, and it's good to see a whole mix of cars with Kurs and without it, because it kind of adds, you know, a lot of variance in the field, and I think it's generally a good thing. But as has been said a couple of times already now, you know, a standardised Kurs will just kind of defeat the object of racing, because then...
We've lost Scott. Okay, no worries. Move on to the next one, Lou.
Okay, Stephen, do you have anything to add?
What, apart from the fact that Scott obviously wasn't wearing his marigolds to answer that question? I think that the problem with Kurs, as has been said, is if you're going to bring in Kurs, bring it in and let the teams do what they like with it. If they want to put a lot of money in it, into it, and recover lots of energy and use lots of energy whenever they want to use it, let them do it, and that way it will develop. And the same should go for any other energy recovery. If they want to take the heat out of the engine, instead of putting it in the radiator and vent out to the air, take that, use the power from it, great. The more stuff like that they do, the better. But the idea of bringing in this year something which is optional, which is of marginal benefit, and then next year going to a standard plug-in unit, complete waste of time, just adds complication and cost, and okay, may gain a little bit in racing, but in general it does nothing for anyone.
Thank you. And lastly for Manflu is Alex.
Well, the thing that's really unfortunate is that next year there's a fantastic opportunity. If they bring in this rather interesting restriction on fuel, I'm sure that will be debated later on, but if they did bring in the restriction on fuel use, then it's kind of interesting that they'll have Kurs, because the people who can take the less fuel all the way through the race might actually go faster, because they could actually use Kurs to actually do what it would do on a car, which is to use be more efficient on fuel. And that, to me, would make it a much more road-relevant technology, and that could actually be something quite exciting. But only if they also allow everybody to go and be as efficient as possible. Imagine that, the idea that, you know, you could get to the end of the race as fast as possible because you actually used the least fuel, because that meant you were fastest all the way through, because you didn't have to put as much fuel in at the beginning. That sort of thing would be really interesting, and actually incredibly popular, I'd imagine, with people who don't understand Formula One. Of course, maybe we shouldn't be trying to make Formula One interesting to people who don't like it in the first place, but that's a different thing.
Thank you. And lastly, Gavin.
Well, I don't want to repeat what everyone else said, because it's all good points. But I was thinking earlier on that when turbos were first introduced, not everyone could see the value in them. Not everyone could see that they were going to be beneficial to Formula One. And then eventually it became the thing to have, and you weren't going to win without a turbo. And I think if we allow unrestricted Kurs, in a year or two's time, you can already see that it's going to be the thing you have to have to win. So I think it's going to be a good thing. I think anything that allows Nelson Piquet to actually race somebody and show a bit of skill has to be a bonus, because I've never, ever seen him race anybody. And the way he raced against Barrichello, maybe it was a little bit artificial, but he could actually do something in a race. So it's got to be a good thing.
Thank you. Some great answers there. I'm going to hand over to Jackie for the next question.
Okay, just before we get on to the next question, could we get a recap of the scores, please, Christine?
Absolutely. The scores after the first round, Team Manflu have 2 and Team Sniffles have 4. It looks like our bumper show has already fallen off because Scott has disappeared.
Can he come back?
It doesn't look like it keeps going to voicemail. So I was thinking for now, you can just disappear.
Okay. No, I will sit out. If until Scott comes back, I will sit out. That sounds like a very good plan. Especially when we get to the killer question.
Okay, so question 2. Virgin are in talks with Braun GP about extending their sponsorship to become title sponsors. It's also announced that Virgin Galactic have started selling seats on these flights, and that Rubens Barrichello and Niki Lauda, who it's suggested will pilot the craft, have paid for tickets. So my question is, who would you most like to send into space, and why? And that question, first of all, goes to Lukey.
I'm just going to have to say Flavio Briatore at the moment, because at the moment, he's just, the past few weeks, the comments he was saying and the ridiculous things, well, the past few years, really. But just, if anyone could just get off this earth, it would be lovely to see Briatore fly off into space. And he'd probably still complain that Braun's fault that he was in space or something. So, I don't know, I'd be happy to see Briatore go.
Okay. Would you like to see him come back?
That's No.
Okay, for Team Sniffles, can we hear from Sean, please?
So I was wondering, does it mean they have to come back again? You know, because, I mean, the obvious ones are sort of Max Mosley and Eckelstein, and then they can go into space and keep going, couldn't they? I don't know, Richard Branson, you know, he's okay. On one hand, he's very good. On the other hand, you know, he's on television so much, and he's always trying to get into the pictures with the winners of the races and things like that. I just think he should just be sent off into space, you know, until the season ends, and then come back and they tell him how well the or how much money the sponsors have generated, something like that. There we go.
Excellent. So for Team Manflu, could we hear from Alex, please?
Yeah, oh God, it's a difficult one. Who do you send into space? I think it's probably going to have to be Michael Schumacher for me. I think I'd like to send him into space because he would probably try and break all kinds of records, and then on his return we'd realise that he'd probably been filming all of those scenes in the New Mexico desert and hadn't really been true.
Okay, for Team Sniffles, Gavin, please.
I was just thinking, if you put DC, PK, Sato, and Nakajima on the same spaceship, what are the odds of it actually landing there? I guess, who would I like to see going to space? I'd like to see Bernie going to space and see him try and set up a Grand Prix up there, because he's tried everywhere else, so why not the vast features of outer space?
Excellent. Stephen?
And of course, to add to Gavin's point, Bernie likes to have a Grand Prix somewhere where there's no atmosphere. I guess the first thing, if I had the choice, is I'd go myself because I'm desperate to go up and have a look. But if we're going to avoid that, I think Christine could go because it's the one place where she's not going to find someone asking her about her song. Or we can send Eddie Jordan up so that we can get Mike Gascoigne back on the TV.
Hey.
Okay, and so finally for Team Manflu, we have Amy.
Okay, from a selfish point of view, I would like to send Sebastian Bourdais into space so that Brendan Hartley can take his drive, because there hasn't been a New Zealander in Formula One since 1980, and I would love to see another one. Plus, Bourdais whines a lot, and we wouldn't be able to hear him if he was in space.
That's a surprise that having a little go at Mr. Bourdais didn't get a...
She's not a fan anymore.
Oh, she's fickle, Jackie. Okay, so
she's switched Sebastian's.
Okay, so Christine, can we have a recap of the scores at the end of round two, please?
Team Manflu have 7, Team Sniffles have 12, and Jackie has 2.
Just out of curiosity, who was the last New Zealander in Formula One? Was it Mike Thackwell?
Yep. I was going to say, don't you know the answer, Stephen?
I just didn't associate him with 1980. I thought he was a couple of years later than that.
It was back in 1984, actually. He debuted in 1980, and then he did a couple in 1984 as well.
Okay, that's what's confusing me.
Wow, that deserves a ping. Just for confusing Stephen. Doesn't happen that often. Okay, over to Lou for the next question.
It's the Spanish Grand Prix next weekend, and many cars are going to have new pieces of development on the car. Do you think this is going to affect the order again? And if so, which teams do you think will improve? And do you think any won't improve at all? And that question is to Sean.
Yes, it definitely will be some improvement there. I think the teams at the moment are developing their cars a hell of a lot faster than anyone can predict or anyone, you know, believes. And, you know, you're going to see, I believe, I have a feeling you're going to see McLaren really taking on the front runners in Spain. That's just a bit of a feeling I've got. And, you know, possibly even Ferrari sort of getting their act together a bit more this time. So we certainly will. And one team that really needs to make some improvements, the BMW. Yeah, sure, definitely. I can't quite think. Oh, and of course, Braun. They're improving their car again, aren't they? So, yep, there we go. That's it. Correct answer.
Thank you. And same question to Alex.
I agree about McLaren. I think they probably are going to have some big improvements. You can see that they've already been improving all the way through this season so far. But I think that actually it's it's for the smaller teams to keep ahead at the moment. I think Braun probably and Red Bull are probably the teams that you want to look for, because they probably have some advantages. They are ahead anyway, and the big pushes they're going to try and make right now are going to be crucial, I think. And I just, the downheartedness of the BMW and Ferrari teams in all of their conversations, and Renault as well, the fact that they keep going and saying, oh, it's somebody else's fault, somebody else's fault, tells me that they probably don't have anything to bring. And whereas McLaren are keeping themselves to themselves, and I think that's probably a sign that they're just getting on with the job.
And Gavin, what do you think?
I'd like to think that BMW are going to make an improvement, because I've got Robert Kubica on my fantasy racers team, and he's the worst driver. From my stats, he's the worst driver. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think Braun are going to make an improvement, because Ross Braun's awesome. And I think McLaren is showing some really good signs of improving. And this is the race where we're going to get another shift, because it's the first European race. So I think probably Braun, Red Bull a bit, and McLaren.
Brilliant. And Amy?
I am hoping that Williams might be making an improvement, because they've had so much pace, well, Nico has had so much pace in practices, and yet he hasn't been able to translate that at all into race pace. Hopefully some aero upgrades or something might help there. As for who won't improve, I'm going to go against the trend. I don't think McLaren are going to improve that much. They've admitted themselves that they had a lot of upgrades in the flyaway races that a lot of other teams didn't have, so they don't have as much to bring to Barcelona, and especially considering that it's a track where everybody tests, everyone else is going to have a lot more knowledge as well about what's needed there, although I do hope that Kovalainen will have the new front wing so that he can catch up to Lewis again.
And Stephen?
I don't think there's going to be any significant change in the general order. I think it's going to be pretty much the same as we've seen. McLaren and Renault obviously have new floors and diffusers, which they've run, I think, in one race each. So they may have had time to do a little bit of tweaking in those to get a bit more performance out of them. But I don't think it's going to change much. I think Monaco's going to be far more interesting because of the nature of the track. And we've seen in the wet that the Red Bull seems to have a lot of mechanical grips. I think we might see Red Bull just fly away when it comes to Monaco. I don't think much will change in Barcelona.
And lastly, Yuki.
The only real big change I can see is Ferrari, personally, because they really need to sort themselves out and get a season going. BMW, again, need to sort the season out if Kubica is leaving at the end of the year, which I can see that happening as well, to be honest. You know, like Stephen said, I can see a huge shake-up happening. Brunch need to keep going, get a bit faster, but in general, no, just Ferrari improving.
Okay, thank you. And Christine, can we have the scores for that round, please?
At the end of that round, Team Manflew have 12 and Team Sniffles have 14. Jackie still has 2.
Okay, ready for round 4. And I want to start with Team Sniffles. And the question is, we've just heard in the debrief that Max Mosley and Luca de Montezemolo exchanged letters last week about the budget cap of £40 million being brought in for next season. Luca's not too keen on the idea, and now Max is quoted in the Financial Times as saying the sport could survive without Ferrari, and it would be very sad to lose Ferrari. It is the Italian national team. So in this three-part question, do you see this argument developing? Do you agree with Max's statement? And if so, what kind of future do you envisage for Ferrari within motor racing? That one will go to Gavin, please, for Team Sniffles.
I'm just more interested in seeing what the love letters between Max Mosley and Luca de Montezemolo are. Clearly, Max has fallen out of love with Ferrari, and Luca is trying to win back the love of the FIA, because from the comments that we've heard. But there is no Formula 1 without Ferrari. Whether you like it or not, Ferrari have been in it from the start. Ferrari have such a position that they can say what they want and do what they want, and it eventually works for them, to the point where there's been changes in the rules proposed and they've threatened to leave, and then the rules have gone their way. What's going to happen is that Ferrari are going to get the teams on their side somehow, and then they're going to convince the FIA to go their way, and then it's going to go their way.
Great. So for Team Manflew, could we hear from Alex, please?
I mean, I think it's a complete ploy. He knows that that he has signed some kind of deal with the devil. I mean, him and Bernie did kind of give this huge rights to Ferrari the last time they had a big argument with the other teams. Ferrari jumped ship first away from the Constructors' Championship, and they gave this whole thing. And I think basically this is them putting Ferrari on message. He saw that Bernie revealed that the actual extra money that they gave Ferrari the last time, and that caused a bit of disturbance in the team's union. And now, again, this thing kind of puts an extra bit of pressure on there, and I think they're just trying to put a little bit of a wedge between Ferrari and the rest of the teams again. Ferrari are Formula One to an extent, but on the other hand, of course, we know that, well, they're just... I can't go over the point. Anyway, they can't have Formula One without Ferrari. I don't think so. Even though Stephen will tell you otherwise.
Okay, we'll go with Stephen.
You can have Formula One without Ferrari.
No!
Well, Formula One without Maserati. Would Formula One for 50 years without Mercedes? Would Formula One, or we've had Formula One for God knows how long without Lotus? If Ferrari go, they go. The thing is, they're not going anywhere. Ferrari have a whole history of putting out garbage like this and getting the governing body to jump to their tune. I mean, if you go back to 1964 when Enzo was in the huff with the CSI, as it was then, before it was even the FIA, John Surtees, when he won his world championship, didn't win it in a Ferrari. He won it in a blue and white car called an ARCT, which is a North American racing team, which is an American Ferrari importer. So if you look at the last two races of that season, he wasn't in a Ferrari. And that was Enzo just saying, we're not going to enter, so this team just happened to enter in our cars. Ferrari are going nowhere. Christine's trying to pull a sound effect on. Ferrari are going nowhere. Max and Co are just trying to get them to dump Fota again. I don't think it's going to happen this time. The sooner Fota set up their own championship and dump Max, the better.
Okay, Team Manflu, Lucas, go.
I'm not a big fan of Ferrari, and I'm not a big fan of Luca di Mozzarella, but I couldn't pronounce his name, so I thought mozzarella would be the most appropriate word to fit in there, but I can't see them leaving the sport, because they have got, like Steven said, such a big history with the sport, and they've got a nice red car, and I like red, so I hope they don't leave.
Great answer. For Team Sniffles, finally, we've got Sean.
Okay, yeah, it's a real complicated one. I want the budget cap, but it's going to be horrendously complicated. The logistics and whatever to make this work is going to be virtually impossible. Ferrari, I totally agree. They are kind of half of Formula One. They'll stay in Formula One. They've got to. Formula One would have a big sideswipe if they went. Maybe I'm being a bit naive, but I think Moseley is trying to show that he doesn't favour Ferrari, and he's really trying to stand his ground here with them. And if so, I hope he wins, and I hope Ferrari kind of... maybe I'm living in cloud cuckoo land here, but I hope they kind of go with what he wants. But I really can't see this budget cap working without teams, you know, kind of thinking out of the box. I mean, they're all worlds within worlds, aren't they, these groups and teams and organisations. I mean, how are they going to, you know, account for all the money that they've capped them with? I mean, even if they've got people in there dependent. So, good luck to him.
Quick, before the bomb comes. Finally, then, for Team Manflu, we have to hear from Amy.
Okay, as far as the argument developing on this one, I don't know that it can, because of the fact that they have to have their entries in like 2 weeks' time. And anything that they want to argue about after they've already made their decision and given their entry to the FIA is irrelevant, because if they apply to go with the budget cap and then start arguing about it afterwards, it doesn't matter. As to whether Formula One could live without Ferrari, I would like to think that they can, but that's probably biased because I'm not a Ferrari fan, and I guess living in Melbourne, I mean, like everyone in the stands is a Ferrari fan, and if there was no Ferrari, the Grand Prix probably couldn't exist here, which personally, that would be rubbish. And Ferrari's future, if they don't go for it, like, what else do they do? Oh, they provide cars to the A1GP, which unfortunately looks like it's not coming back next year. So they don't have anything else to do, really, apart from Formula One.
Great answers, Amy. Thank you. Christine, can we have the scores at the end of round four, please?
At the end of that round, Team Manflu have 19 and Team Sniffles have 14. Jackie still has two.
Okay. As you all probably know, it's possible that we might have three new teams in F1 next year, USDP, Lola, and maybe even ProDrive. My question is, if you were able to create and enter a new F1 team, what would you call it and who would your ideal drivers be? And that first question goes to Amy.
Well, I don't know what I would call it, but the drivers clearly would have to be Frank. And Anthony Davidson. I would like a team of ex Super Aguri drivers. That's what I'd call them, Team ex Super Aguri.
Okay, and next question to Stephen.
Great question. I like this one. Like Amy, I don't know what I would call the team. I think what I'd like to do is have one experienced driver and one really new driver. The new driver won't come as a surprise to anyone that I'd put Paul de Resta in. I'm slightly baffled as to who I'm going to have as an experienced driver. I'm tempted to bring McNishan and let him have a run, or someone similar, but maybe someone like Alec Wurz or De La Rosa, someone who's a proven tester. Really wish I could come up with a good team name, but just can't think of anything, sorry.
Just to jump in, Scott, in the comments, we've obviously lost him off the call, he said he'd name his team after himself, he'd have Sootle and Button, and apparently we've got to sponsor him.
First commenter ever with minus points.
Okay, Lukey, what do you think?
This is just from a dream I had once. I would call the team, I don't know why, it's just a word that came to my mind, I'd call them Brawn, and I'd have... And I'd have what's his name? Jason No, you know, Dennis Button and the other one. I would have them in my team and they'd be sponsored by that Branson. Oh, I don't know. We can leave the Branson bit out, to be honest.
Okay, and Gavin.
I'd call my team 5 Pints of Awesome. I'd paint the cars red because red cars always seem to win and they always seem to get the way with the rules. And I'd probably have Lewis Hamilton and Scott Dixon because they're my two favourite drivers. And I think I'd get sponsored by somebody awesome.
Okay, and same question to Alex.
Okay, my team is going to be called the FIA Knows Best. I'm going to have as my first driver, I'm going to have Mr. C. I think that would be a good idea. And then my second driver is going to be Sato, so that Mr. C then has to prove that he actually is better than Sato.
Can I also jump in with RG's got a suggestion for his team in the comments? He'd have a team called Timo Racing. Sorry, he'd have Timo Glock in his team, somebody awfully slow to make Timo look good, and he'd call it We're Not Biased to Anyone But Timo Racing.
And lastly, Sean.
Right, okay, for what it's worth, I mean, I think I would have to, the company that I work for, that I can't mention their name, they would own the team and sponsor the team, and then what I would do is I would need a subordinate driver, and I'd need a really fantastic driver, so I would get sort of Anthony Davidson in, and he could be the, you know, consistent subordinate driver, and then I'd either have Alonso, or I'd try and get Michael Schumacher back in, one of those drivers.
Oh no!
And get it going again, you know, something like that, you know, or get John Surtees or someone like that to drive for them. I don't know. There you go.
Chris has just pointed out in the comments that having Mr. C as a driver will cause real problems in the post drivers' press conference.
Why?
Because you'd have to be on screen.
Oh no!
LG.
That's a silly idea.
Well, was wear a panda suit.
It would be the post drivers' conference sponsored by LG, with LG and not you.
Okay, and the scores at the end of that round are, Christine?
Team Manflu are running away with it now. They've got 29 points to Team Sniffles 15. Jackie has 3, Lou has 1, and from the comments, RG has 1, Chris has 2, and Scott has minus 1. He started off on the show, and now he's in the comments on minus 1.
Can I call a stewards inquiry? I think the other team are using an illegal use of humour. They should only be using 6 seconds. And I believe they're using more per answer, and that's just not acceptable. And we're going to take you to the council for it.
Gavin, there's a two-tier system in Formula One these days, and
you're in the lower tier.
Subject to the budget cap, we're allowed to use human.
They'll have their points taken away sometime next week.
Okay, you ready for round six? We're only four races into the season and already there are calls for Piquet to lose his seat at Renault. Raikkonen doesn't seem to be particularly a happy bunny right now at Ferrari, and Lewis has seemed a bit disillusioned at McLaren. We've had for the first time in years a very stable grid last season, with no changes in team personnel at all. With the current team's pecking order well and truly mixed up this year, some drivers like Button and Barrichello are enjoying a turnaround in fortunes, whilst others like Kubica must be rueing missed opportunities. So my question is this: if you could change any of the current drivers and put them into any team on the grid, would you just mix them up a bit or bring in new talent? Who would you replace and why? And that's to Team Manflu, and we'll start with Luke, please.
The obvious one straight would be Piquet. He'd be straight out that Renault and in a little 399 buggy from Toys R Us or something. Just let him drive around the circuit, do whatever he likes, just get him out that Renault, please. The other driver, I think the other one as well would be Bourdais, because he's just not getting a job. He's doing so well, Buemi, he can actually go off the track, swear on the pit radio, and sound comedic, and still beat Bourdais. That's how bad Bourdais is doing. So it would definitely be Piquet and Bourdais I'd get out and bring in, I don't know, Spider-Man, Batman, anyone, just whatever.
Excellent. For Team Sniffles, we'll hear from Gavin, please.
Well, we're desperately behind in the points, so any team, please tape Frank, please, so I can get a ping. Oh, okay. proper answer then. The fact that Buemi was in GP2 last year and did pretty much nothing and was average and got a Formula 1 drive and is pretty good means there's at least five drivers in GP2 that should deserve to be in Formula 1 right now. There's three drivers in Formula 1 that I really think are endangered species. One is Piquet. Just by the fact that we've coined the phrase a little bit PK, that says enough about Mr. PK, that how good he or bad he is. Another is Fisichella. He may be driving for free, but clearly that's too expensive because he's just terrible. And Bourdais is having such a bad start that clearly he's got to be on borrowed time as well. I think Romain Grosjean, Lucas Degrassi, Bruno Senna, they should be in Formula 1 cars out of GP2 because... Okay, I'll stop now.
Excellent. Can we hear from Amy next for Team Manflu?
Oh, my answers are going to be, I guess, similar to everyone else's, in that you've got your usual suspects like PK and Fisichella. Obviously, Nakajima is another one. Maybe there's something about drivers who had fathers who were drivers. I don't know, but Nakajima's really unimpressing me. To be honest, not that impressed with Rosberg either. I know everyone loves him, but he's done nothing for me since he's been there. As to who I would put in place of these people, anyone really. I know everyone wants to see Bruno Senna in a car, so I don't know if I do. I think he's another one with that last name thing. Yeah, anybody. Just get rid of them. And Fisichella, who's been there since I was born.
Bro. For Team Sniffles, Stephen, please.
The first thing I'd say is on your intro, I think Kimi's going to do well this year. I know everyone thinks he's down, but I reckon he's going to beat Massa this season. I think certainly there are a lot of very good young drivers around who need to get a break. And Piquet's had way too long. Bourdais just doesn't look like he's going to cut it. Fisichella, as has been mentioned, Nakajima. But there are people like Degrassi, Hülkenberg, Adam Carroll, who won A1 GP, Bruno Senna. All sorts of people who deserve a break, so let's get them in there and get rid of the dead wood.
Can we have Alex, please?
I don't really want him to go, but I think I'm just desperately trying to think of somebody who hasn't been mentioned, so I'm going to go for Bernd Mailander, simply because I'd like to have some more races without a safety car involved, and I think that may be a good option.
And finally, Sean, please.
Right, okay. Yeah, definitely PK, Nakajima and Bourdais out of Formula 1. But to be fair on them, it's so competitive now that, you know, drivers like them used to be in the kind of Diesel Bernardi and all of that back in those days. So maybe when this budget cap comes in, they could come back in the Lola and those sort of cars at the back. Kubica should get out of BMW, get him into Braun and get Barrichello out of Braun. So Jensen Button and Kubica would be quite an awesome pairing there, I think. I think Kubica's one of the best. driver in Formula One. So he would really show everyone what he could do then, you know. And I tell you something, he'd leave everyone for dust. There we go. That's my answer.
Excellent. Some excellent stuff there. Christine, could we have the scores, please, at the end of round six?
Team Manflu have 35. Team Sniffles have 20. Jackie has 3. And I think the rest are all the same.
Yay, we're still winning the second tier, guys.
Okay, so I think it's about time we moved on to the three killer questions.
Three.
It was pointed out to me a while ago that Mario Tyson looks very similar to Ned Flanders from The Simpsons. Can you think of anyone else from the F1 paddock who acts or looks like a cartoon character? And first question, Kiki.
Oh, Jesus. I'm just laughing at the image of Ned Flanders and Mario Tyson again every time it gets me. Can I skip that and answer that in a minute?
Yeah, okay. So we'll move on to Alex.
Well, not currently from the paddock, but I can think of Montoya as Homer Simpson, obviously for the donuts.
And Stephen?
You think a lookalike's in the paddock? I mean, Bernie looks like Andy Warhol, but, you know, Andy Warhol more like Drew Carter than what actually was one. I think the only thing I can think of is Kimmy and his enormous hat. Reminds me of a cartoon that used to be on a TV years ago called Calimero, which is a little black bird with its eggshell on its head. Probably no one else remembers.
Amy, what do you think?
As much as it pains me to say this, it really does, but Hakey does look a lot like Beavis.
He does.
And Sean?
Well, the only one I can think of is David Coulthard looks like Peter Perfect out of the Wacky Races.
And Lukey?
The only one I can think of, and I don't know why this comes to mind, is I don't know if anyone remembers. Oh, what was his name? It was the guy who used to present on CBBC. I think his name is Odyssey Aardvark. It was basically a public aardvark, and it reminds me of Robert Kubica for some reason.
How?
Something about the nose.
The other one I was thinking of, I mentioned it earlier, it's Martin Whitmarsh looks like the demon headmaster. Just because he's got creepy eyes, apparently.
And Gavin?
I can't believe no one said this yet. Sebastian Buemi looks like Mr. Potato Head.
Yay!
But also, Jonathan Lagarde looks like Frankenstein. Kubica looks like Lurch. I think.
I have one more, which is that he's also left as well. But Jean Todt did look an awful lot like Greenback from Danger Mouse.
Oh, that was the other one. I was going to say Jean Todt looks like Mr. Toad from Beatrix Potter.
Sorry, there's one in the comments from Flipster saying Massa looks like Ernie from Sesame Street.
He's also got Rosenthal as the Count. Flipster deserves a point for that one.
Dover Liner looks like someone out of the Munsters, doesn't he? The grandpa, doesn't he? He always reminds me of him.
Okay, so at the end of that round, what are the scores, Christy?
Team Manflu have 38 and Team Sniffles have 22.
I did just think of another one, totally off the wall, but Holly Samos looks like a Teletubby when she wanders around a pit lane with a little area on her head.
That's so mean.
Okay. My killer question. Christine penned and sung an absolutely brilliant good luck song for Felipe Massa to the music of Santa Baby. Which driver or F1 personality would you like to compose a song for? What would you sing, and can you suggest any suitable soundtrack? And maybe if you're very, very good and sung a little bit, Team Sniffles, Christine might give you an extra point or two. That question, first of all, is going to go to Gavin.
I have thought of a song. I've been thinking about the Ligate, and I'm thinking, seeing as Lewis is my favourite, I'm going to have to sing a song about Lewis. And I was thinking maybe a little rendition of Little Lies by Fleetwood Mac might do the trick here. If I could tell a fib, the stewards would rearrange a position or two. So said Davy Ryan. But they found our radios. There's no way we can get away with it now, they heard us say. Lewis, let him by. Tell them lies, tell them sweet little lies.
Tell them lies. Oh, you can't be disguised. You can't disguise. No, you can't disguise. Tell them a bit more.
No, that's great. That's perfect.
That was fantastic.
Let me just do
that.
The next bit of it, because you'll like this bit. Although Martin's not making plans, he said, I hope you don't understand. There's a reason why. Davey's fired.
Oh. Absolutely brilliant. For Man Flu, can we have Alex, please?
Oh dear. I've decided to go for Nick Heidfeld, BMW, and I hope that you'll recognise the song as I start to sing it. Don't stop me now, I'm the only driver with curse in my team. Don't stop me now, my name is Nick Heidfeld. I want to believe. Don't stop me now. Don't give the curse to Robert. He goes too fast. Don't stop me now. My only chance of winning is because of Robert's fat ass.
Oh dear. that was unexpected. Just in the comments, a quick note for RG, who's holding out for a Teemo. He's holding out for a Teemo till the end of the night.
I was going to steal that one.
Brilliant. God, I can't see though. Sean, please.
All right, this is the worst sort of question for me. I really terrible. Look, I'm not going to. Don't want to do anything controversial this time. So there's a song by that's called "Every Loser Wins," which could apply to quite a few drivers, isn't there? And then getting right back to the sort of 1970s, there's a group called The Sweet did a song called "Hellraiser" that could apply to Lewis Hamilton, I think, and that's about it.
Smash, Amy, now please for Team Man Flu.
Oh, my songwriting debut. Okay, I'll give you one guess who I wrote a song about. To the tune of the Everly Brothers. Their song, All I Have to Do Is Dream. I've written a song called All You Have to Do Is Win. It goes a little like this. It goes, to keep your seat for next year, to keep your seat for your career, to stay at McLaren, all you have to do is win. Win. Ignore that your teammate Lewis and your car is number two to stay at McLaren. All you have to do is win. The end.
Fantastic. Thank you. Oh, dear. Stephen for Team Sniffles.
Oh, my God. I thought maybe Bernie would do something like D-I-V-O-R-C-E.
Oh!
The other one that I came up with, and I noticed a couple of people have come up with the same thing in the comments. I thought, you know, for Kimmy and his taste in desserts, we could have Ice Ice Baby, or as someone's changed it to Ice Cream Baby.
And finally, for Man Flu, Lukey.
I haven't even said anything yet.
Oh, sorry, just Andy put one in the comments here saying for Kibitza we could have Firestarter.
Does anyone remember the Cornetto adverts? the song from the Cornetto adverts then, about a certain team boss. Just one Flavio Briatore, he says silly things, shouting at Braun GP, jealous of the wins. He's been at Renault for so long, it's been a while. Considering PK's still in the car, he's gone senile.
Good one.
Fantastic, I loved that round. Christine, could we have the scores, please, at the end of the second killer
question? Is there anyone in the comments who hasn't got a point yet?
So the final scores, Team Man Flu have 42, Team Sniffles have 26. Jackie has 3, Lou has 2, and from the comments, Chris has 3, Flipster has 1, Andy has 1, RG has 2, and Scott and Mr. C have -1 each.
Well done to... which team won? Sorry, I wasn't listening. Well done to Man Flu. I was just trying to work out how the hell so many people in the comments got so many points. That's amazing. So of the two hosts, Jackie beat Lou by a point. That's good going. Thank you for hosting this week, you two.
You're welcome.
Did you enjoy hosting?
Yeah, it was good fun.
Yeah, some fun.
And thank you to Kathy for managing to host 9 simultaneous Skype conversations, which is absolutely fantastic. We are moving to Finland. It's official. Thank you to everyone who joined the call. Sorry we lost Scott halfway through, although I'm quite glad that I missed that on the killer question. Are we going to do one more panel this year? One more to go.